Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. Speak just a little bit tonight, devotional on managing God's resources, and some of this will be very familiar to you. I think, I don't know, probably 25 years ago, somewhere right there at the end of high school, I took to my life verse, Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us the number of days that may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I don't remember, it was at a youth camp when someone was preaching and they used that verse and challenged the young people to use their time wisely. And so I kind of took that verse, and that's still when I do sign something for someone or whatever. Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us the number of our days that may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We all need to learn, and we all need to obey and be good stewards, not only of our finances, but of our time. Time is, you only get it once, right? I know some of us like to dream about whether we could go back, but you can't go back. And so we need to be good stewards of our time, and especially I know we got some younger people in here. Our youth are a different place tonight, but just remembering that God gave us time, and we need to use it wisely. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, I'm just going to read part of it. It says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We need to remember that we live in a dark day. We do. And we need to choose well what we do with our time. Romans chapter 13 and verse 11, I'll read it. It says, and that knowing the time, that now is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or in drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife or envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We need to wake out of our sleep, don't we? I mean, all of us do. I mean, none of us can sit here and say, you know what, I use my time every minute, I use it to the best of its ability. All of us can improve in the era of time. Brother Rigsby, our administrator of the seminary, me and Brother Wiggins attended, Brother Rigsby, most of y'all know him, he hammered this in Bible college, using your time wisely. Time is fleeting. Time passes so quickly. And I remember my parents telling me, hey, you better enjoy your kids before you blink an eye, they're grown. And man, look at me now, you know. It's amazing how time flies, and it flies faster the older you get. It's amazing. And we need to make good use of our time. We must use our time to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring Him glory. Do all to the glory of God. Amen? Everything for His glory. Webster defines time as the measured period to which an action, process, or condition exists or continues. And then, again, we understand and know that time is precious, and that God gives it to us only a second at a time. And time is a universal gift, and we all have an equal allotment of it. 60 seconds in a minute, 60 minutes in an hour, 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week, 52 weeks in a year. We need to be good managers over the time. Understanding that our time has been given to us by the Lord. Your money's been given to you by the Lord. Your house, my house has been given to me by the Lord, but my time has as well. And we need to use our time wisely and prioritize our life. I've got 10 sermons on priorities, and we've preached that many, many times. And so using our time wisely means putting our priorities straight and keeping them straight. And remember, we will never find time for anything. If you want time, you must make it, and using our time wisely. You have all the time in the world. I don't know how many times Brother Rigsby used to say that to us. You have all the time in the world. You do. You have all the time in the world. And you make time for what you want to do, don't we? Absolutely, we do. And summer is here. You can sell a few of them and made time to do something else tonight. Right? And some are on vacation, I certainly understand. But we ought to make proper use of our time and prioritize our life. And for our new Christians and new members, just reminding ourselves, priorities are pretty easy. God's number one. God institute the family first. Number two. God is through the church, number three. Work and all the rest of us down there below that. So we should put God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We put God first, that means being in the services. I don't think that summer gives us the right, and I know I'm preaching to the choir because the other guys aren't here, but that certainly doesn't give us a biblical right to miss services. We should put God first. And I haven't said this lately, but I want to get on soapbox just for a second. Hang on, let me get on it. All right, I'm there. If Christians would stop playing sports on Sunday and Wednesdays, people who call themselves Christians, they would stop having sports on Sunday and Wednesday. But because Christians are too weak-kneed and compromisers, I feel better about the whole thing. It's true. When we stood tough here in Haslett and said, you know what, our kids would never play sports on Sunday or Wednesday nights. And they didn't. And if they played it on Sunday, it was Sunday afternoon, and we made it all work, and we're not bouncing our little ball home. But we need to use our time right and understand that God gives us the time we have. In summertime, winter, springtime, and harvest, our time needs to be used right. We have all the time in the world. We make time for what we want to do. And is that true? Amen? We do. We do. We make time for what we want to do. And so we need to be careful with our time. If you have any time to kill, work it to death. And then Dr. Barber's famous, and I know he got this somewhere else, but I love it. I have only just a minute, just 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, can't refuse it, didn't seek it, didn't choose it. I must suffer if I lose it, give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. We have just a minute. I love that. We ought to be good managers of our time. All right, the redeeming the time because the days are evil. Teach us to number our days and may apply our hearts unto wisdom, making good use of our time. I believe that we must make good time when it concerns God. That's number one tonight. Having time for God in our life is not a second-rate option, but rather first priority in our lives. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And you go back to Deuteronomy, go back to the Old Testament, we see the same commandment given to the children of Israel, to love God with all their heart, with all their might, with all their strength, and all their soul, to give God first place in one's life. And I just want to encourage you tonight, and you're here tonight, I'm preaching to the choir, but we need to give God first place. God first place when it comes to everything in our life. Our public worship is essential to spiritual growth and maturity. And therefore, we need to understand that our public worship that we're engaging in tonight and on Sundays is for our profit. And it affects our spiritual life, enables us to grow in a way that our personal devotional life can't. In other words, the personal devotional life and the public worship life work hand in hand. We need someone to preach to us. We need a Sunday school teacher to teach us. We need that in our own spiritual life. It enables us to grow in a way that's different than our private devotional life. I don't know how many times, and you experience it all the time, you'll be in a service and you hear a verse preached on or a passage preached on you, and you say, I never heard it that way before. And a light comes on and God speaks to your heart. It's amazing, isn't it? What a corporate worship does, and that the preaching of the Word of God does, whether it's myself or Brother Wiggins or someone preaching up here, and that God brings it home to you and to your heart through the preaching of the Word of God. God has used the foolishness of preaching, he says. And listen, we need it. It's essential in our Christian life. And yes, there must be a private devotional life that balances it, and a private devotional life that backs up our public worship. In other words, we should come to church, and we say this a lot, I know, but we should come to church having already worshiped the Lord in private, and therefore coming to church not simply to gain, but to give. In other words, I'm ready to worship. I've come expecting God to speak to my heart because my heart's already been softened by my private worship. The fallow ground has already been plowed. It's loosened. It's ready to be planted and ready to be watered by the Word of God. And whether it's Brother Clark or Brother Trainmar or Brother Cox or Brother Wiggins, whoever's teaching the adults and Brother Feaser teaching our adults, whoever it may be, if you have that private devotional life to back it up, it'll make a huge, huge difference. This is where, again, our time with God comes in. Having time with God and fellowshipping with Him. And this involves a personal Bible study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And having that private, personal walk with the Lord is vital to the Christian life. It's vital. We need it. It's important that a pastor like myself, that we don't just read our Bible to get a message, but we read our Bibles for personal devotional as well. Right? So y'all think, man, pastor, he just reads the Bible so he can get to... No, I want to read the Bible myself to have a personal walk with Jesus Christ on my own. And now I cannot say that when I'm reading my Bible, my devotional time, that I don't find sermons sometimes, but I want to read the Bible in such a way that I can just enjoy reading and enjoy the Lord speaking to my heart as we peruse through the Scriptures, we read it, and gain devotional from it in my own heart. We need that steady personal time. We need that private prayer time. And we've spoke about this just a couple weeks ago, that 2 Corinthians 4:16 talks about that inward man being renewed day by day. We need that every day. As we read our Bibles, the inward man is renewed day by day. The Bible speaks of that day star rising in our heart. We've heard that. You've heard that from me many times, and Brother Stewart as well. And as we read the Word of God, the inward man is renewed, and the sun, S-O-N, arises in our hearts. Man, you want people to see Jesus in you? Have a private devotional life. Have a private devotional time. People will see Jesus in you all over, because it just can't help but come out when the day star arises in your heart. And then, of course, quiet meditations. And it's one thing to read our Bibles. It's one thing to have private devotional time and prayer time. It's another thing to do it in such a way that we gain nothing from it. And so it needs to be, thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that we meditate upon the Word of God, that we chew it like a cow does the cud. You know, they got four stomachs, and they do stuff, and then they re-chew it, and then they swallow it back, and they chew it again and work it around. Some of y'all not from the country don't understand. Where's Brother Hokett? Anyway, a cow just continues. We just need to keep on chewing on it. And so it would be better, I absolutely believe that it would be better for you to read one chapter a day and meditate on it than it would be for you to read three chapters a day and do it just to get your Bible reading done. Amen? And I think as a kid I was taught different than that. Not per se. And so we need to be careful about our meditation time, our personal Bible study, yes. Private prayer time, yes. But meditating upon what we have read. Bible says there in Psalms, but I delight in the law of the Lord. In the law doth he meditate day and night. Delighting in the Bible. The Bible to me to read is not it's not laborious. It's not labor intensive to me. I enjoy reading the Bible. And I know when I don't enjoy reading my Bible, there's something wrong with me. And that's when I become concerned. Right? When I don't have an appetite for the Word of God, then I know that I'm sick somewhere. Just like when I don't have a physical appetite. If I don't have a physical appetite, something's wrong with me. Right? So we need to be reminded that our time is used wisely when we make time for God. First, every Christian should have a quiet time. A minimum of 10 minutes. Really, you ought to have at least 10 minutes. Maybe you're a new Christian, you want to start out at 5 minutes, but take some time. Take some time, build up to that 10, 20, 30 minutes a day. It will revolutionize your Christian life. Praying and reading God's Word, it will change you. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And we must make time for the Word of God and for our daily Bible reading. When we practice each day, Monday through Saturday, we'll be prepared for public worship on Sunday, which we should never neglect. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a man or some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. The Bible commands us not to forsake the assembly of the church. And I would encourage you, and again, I think it's great. In fact, we're just fixing to talk about the family. I think it's important that you have family vacation time. We do, me and my family. I was gone Sunday week ago, and we left Sunday morning after church. Went down to the big city of Teague, Texas. It was awesome. went to a little place there and did some shooting with some guns, and it was me and the boys. But Sunday night, we attended a little Baptist church. Did you tell them already? No? We attended this little Baptist church in Teague, Texas. And you walked in, and it was probably 40, about the size of the Victory class. That's what the auditorium was. Maybe smaller than that, really. And but about 45 people there, young and old. I was kind of surprised that there was a good mixture of young and old there. The pastor was probably in his late 70s. And he had started the church 19 years ago. I've never met him. His name is Brother Kimball. And it was awesome to hear him preach. Did a great job and just reminded me a lot of the old country church that I grew up in. And we missed the music by a little bit because our Facebook page was wrong. But just to attend. But I would encourage you. I think when we're on vacation, if there is a church close by, you ought to attend church on vacation. Just because you're not in your church doesn't mean you can forsake the assembling yourselves together. And it does teach your kids and your grandkids the importance of being in church on Sunday morning. I'm not saying you have to attend Sunday night. That's between you and the Lord. But at least being there on Sunday morning and being a part of a service on a Sunday, even on vacation. I've told you those many stories growing up. My dad, when we were gone one Sunday a year for vacation. And we attend these little churches up in Colorado. And one time we attended this church, and there was probably 35 people there. And it wasn't a Baptist church. It was the only church close. And the preacher, I remember it so vividly because my dad was so mad. The preacher never opened his Bible, and he preached on ruts, how we shouldn't get in ruts. That's all the message was about. And I was probably, 11 or 12 and still remember that. But we were in church somewhere, and you know what? That exposure helped me as a child, really, to say, hey, I know the difference between a good church and a really bad church that didn't use the Word of God and was nothing more than a social club. But as a little kid, it helped me. And so, encourage you, not forsaking the assembling yourselves together. All right? So, number one, again, as we manage our time wisely, of making time for God and putting Him first. Number two, having time for our families. And someone has observed that love is spelt T-I-M-E. I don't know who that may be. I don't ever say that. Take time. Take time to be holy, and God will bless you. Take time to be happy, and you will bless yourself. Take time to be helpful, and you'll bless others. We need to take time for our families. And I believe I do enough encouraging of this, and I practice it. I hope I practice it well with my own family. And as evidence, I hope, in my own family, that we take time for our kids. And there's a lot of you have grandkids, and I've told you many times, my grandpa on my dad's side, my papa, had as much influence on me as any man who ever lived. I mean, just, he was such a great influence on me. So this doesn't end with parents. This goes to grandparents as well. As we take time for our family and for our kids and grandkids, for our wife. Take time for your wife. Matthew chapter 19. I'm not going to turn over there. But take time for your wife. Take time for your spouse. Making sure you're spending the time that's needful. If you don't spend time with your spouse, then how do you get to know each other? You become strangers to each other. You have to spend time. Me and my wife, probably more than we should here in the last year, take a lot of time for us. And we can now that our kids are older. But even when our kids were small, we made sure nearly every week we took at least an evening or a lunch break and spent time with each other. By the way, I would encourage you too, and we kind of make fun of, me and my wife do a little bit, about the little electronic things. It would be good for you maybe to leave your cell phone out in the car when you go out on this date. Hello? Just telling you. Just some little advice. Maybe leave your cell phone out in your car while you're having a date with your spouse. And even maybe during supper period with your family. It's become a big, big problem. So I'd encourage you in that way. Spending time with your cell phone while your wife is present is not spending time with your wife. All right. So it's another soapbox I got on it. I shouldn't have done that. The parents must have time for their kids. And we understand from Ephesians that we must be careful with our kids, that we don't create within them resentment. Right? Again, discipline is not effective unless love is shown. I get that a lot. Parents will come to me and say, "Preacher, you've said that I'll spank my kid and do it in this way, and you've given me the proper technique and the way to do it." And I have many, many times from the pulpit, I said, if I do it that way, then it 100% will work. And I'm still saying, I stand behind it. If you will use the proper technique in corporal punishment, your kid, 100%, it will work. 100%. Never, But it doesn't work unless you're spending time with your kid. So you can discipline your child, but if you're not spending time with your child, then the discipline will not work. It just won't work. Because what has to happen is you have to have enough relationship with that child, especially as they get older. Now, when they're really small, 3, 4, 5, 6 years old, before that transition takes place, there's some leeway there. That little brain is real, real mushy. And you can do a lot with it until they're about 6 or 7. But after that, there better be a very good relationship there for that discipline to work. That's how it becomes effective. It's not the... Anyway, that is not my intention for tonight's lesson. But we must be very careful. Bringing up our kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord is so important. That word nurture means to discipline them. Admonition means teaching them. And both are the parents' responsibility. It's our responsibility to discipline them and to teach them. And to keep them within the circle of God's blessing. And the circle of God's blessing is to keep your child in honor and obeying you. Honor and obey. And the kid is to what? Well, I'm sorry. And the kid will receive a blessing. Long life and a blessing, right? That's the circle. So if you can think about a circle, think about honor at the top, obey at the bottom, a blessing, and long life on the sides. That's the circle. I love that parenting book. I think Brother Tramar used it in his book by the Truett. It's awesome. Shepherding a Child's Heart. You keep them, it's your responsibility. It's as much your responsibility as it's a child's responsibility to keep them within the blessing. Keep them within the circle of blessing. All right? Just as much important for you to make sure and discipline your child and keep them within that honor and obeying. When they get out of the circle of blessing, then they're out of the circle of blessing of God. It's your job to put them back in the circle of honoring and obeying you. Right? Kids need boundaries. And by the way, I still believe James Dobson has a good book on it. Kids want that. They really do. They really do. They want to know exactly where the boundary is. And you'd be surprised what will happen if you set the boundary. And most kids will abide by it if you have a proper relationship with them. Children have time for their kids, and kids should have time for their parents. And I see that a little bit as we've gotten older and making sure that our kids take time for us. And they should. And their relationship needs to be there. That relationship is very important. And then, of course, the family altar. Everybody awake? Everybody good? The family altar. I'd encourage you, our family altar during the summer suffers because we get out of our normal routine. But I just want to encourage you. I don't think God's going to strike you down dead if you don't have a family altar every day. But there needs to be a family time in which you gather around the Word of God and you read it and you pray and seek God's face as a family. It's important, dads, that your kids hear you pray. It's important, dads, that your wife hear you pray. It's important, moms, that your kids hear you pray. Have that time together and worshiping the Lord. And I'm going to, again, with the grandparents. I remember having devotions with my papa and my grandma and memorizing scripture with my papa and grandma and singing good songs with my papa, especially my papa. My grandma didn't sing a lot, but my papa loved to sing. And anyway, lastly, we're done. Believers must have time for others. Loving others, serving others, doing for others. Jesus instructs us that we are to love one another, and we ought to do this by serving one another. And I think comforting one another. I think as I have gotten a little older, I think this has become more evident in my life, especially too as a pastor, that people do need to be comforted. Not, and we understand the Lord does that, you know, as number one, but Miss Roberta Armstrong needs to be comforted. And she needs that from her church family as well as her close family. Miss Penny Poe, and these have suffered with cancer, Miss Janice Vian, I talked to Brother Vian earlier, and comforting them and making sure we take time to serve them by comforting them. And that's by, you know, by Facebook and by a little note in the mail and by a phone call or a text. Making sure we take the time to serve others and comfort others. That's visitation. That's getting out, inviting people to church, serving others, showing others, comforting others. Having that relationship with the Lord and with those around us. Stewardshipping our time. JCPenney, the department store magnet, made a habit to attend Sunday school, morning worship, evening worship, and Wednesday night prayer meeting. He furthermore tithed his income to the church and once said, this is what he said, if you have too much business to attend church regularly, you have too much business. The man who started JCPenney, the store. If you're too busy, and I know I'm speaking to the choir tonight, if you're too busy for church, you're too busy. You're too busy. We need to put God first in our life, always. Spend time with our families this summer. Man, what a great opportunity this summer. Spend time and take those kids out and have a good time, right? And then spending proper time serving others and doing for others. And I encourage you, there's multiple ways to do that. That's helping a neighbor. It's helping a fellow Christian brother or sister in Christ. But taking the time to do it. Taking the time to write Miss Roberta a card rather than just, you know, thinking about it. Sometimes we get the ideal that, well, somebody else is doing it and then nobody does it. It's taking the time to write Miss Vian or Miss Penny Poe. I think about those again with cancer. The C word is a scary word, isn't it? And so let's take time to serve others. It's teaching a Sunday school class. It's helping a children's church. It's teaching toddlers for 4 years. It's amazing, the service of many of you and your faithfulness. God's good. Serving one another. Let's all stand. God's given us time. And given that He's given us time, let's work it till He comes. Teach us to manage our time wisely, because we do live in a dark day. Redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Lord, we thank You for this time we've had just to, again, be reminded of the importance of our time and the good use of it. I pray, Lord, that You'd help us this summer not to become slack, but use our time to glorify You in so many ways. Help us, Lord, to put You first. Lord, help us to spend time with our family. Lord, help us to find ways in which we can serve others around us. We thank You for Your Son's wonderful example of all these truths. We thank You for what You'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. Hymn 3.